faith. By definition, it's something that is felt with strong conviction without tangible evidence of its existence. Many claim to have it, but how do we attain it? It can't be held. It can't be sold. But it can be passed down. Faith is invaluable to those who feel it. How is it that this belief can unite us regardless of our differences? It's because of conviction, that feeling inside that links so many, from the far corners of the earth to the closest reaches of our neighborhoods. Faith is all around us. Faith springs from a glorious past forward to a promising future. The faith that those who not so quietly defeated rivals and redefined record books would inspire their brethren of today to reach such epic accomplishments. And all along, there are those who cheer. In their minds, they envision. In their hearts, they believe. And because of that, they are simply known as the faithful.
So I grew up in Bertola Valley, down in the peninsula, and my parents had both come from Dallas, Texas. They were, you know, big cowboy fans. And my dad went off to college to RPI, and at the end of RPI, he did very well there, and Stanford recruited him out to come and get his PhD here. When they came out here, they'd really grown up in the segregated South. And for them, growing up as Jews in Dallas is that they would go to school with people who weren't Jewish, but no one would ever hang out with them when they were there. So even though they could physically blend in, there was clear segregation there. So they came out here to get their PhD, and they were presented with this incredible dilemma. Do you go back to the segregated South, or do you stay in the San Francisco Bay Area? And there was no way they were ever going to go back there. This is where they decided to stay. By the time I was born, they'd converted to the 49ers. They were done with the Cowboys. My parents were screaming at the television every Sunday, that is what we did. It was a dramatic shift. I don't know how quickly my parents shifted from being these Cowboys fans to a Niners fans, but it wasn't just we're not Cowboys fans anymore. They detested them.
It became more than just a team. It represented them choosing this life of equality and freedom and all those things that they felt that the 49ers represented, as opposed to some of the discrimination and things that they had seen in the South.
Being faithful has many definitions to the masses. It can mean loving those who stand beside us with loyalty and devotion. It can mean rooting for our team with passion and dedication. It can also mean being enlightened and spiritual, believing in something more divine than ourselves. But for some 49er faithful, those three definitions are not only a way of life, but a path that is chosen. Rabbi Ryan Bauer of Congregation Emmanuel is not only a religious leader in the Presidio Heights neighborhood of San Francisco, but a good old-fashioned diehard.
My worldview was that we were the center of the world because it was a normal thing to win Super Bowls a time and time again. That's just what you did, and that's what I knew in the world. And I think in many respects, if you look at where Silicon Valley is today, you can kind of make the link. Now we think of ourselves as the center of the world. We're the center of the technology, the information, and everyone's looking at us. It had a similar feel here in the 1980s because football was the center of my world growing up. It was just kind of the fiber of who we were in the Bay Area. So the way I became a rabbi, early on, we were told in my household, our entire job in the world was to make the world a better place. And so even in first grade, I was frustrated with Martin Luther King because I thought he'd fixed all the world's problems and that was supposed to be my job. And what was I going to do now? Now, early on, I realized that there happened to be a few problems left in the world that I needed to go figure out. When I had gotten to high school, I had become a peer counselor. So then I became a grief counselor for kids whose parents had died. But then it still was that big enough, the one-on-one work. And when I got to college, I went to UC Berkeley. It was there I'd come up with the idea that I was going to be the first ever balding Jewish president.
Although moving to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue wasn't in the mix for Ryan, he did move to Israel to continue to study Judaism, as it was there that his calling became clear.
And so what I wanted to do was work with families, because then I figured I could make the largest and most dramatic change. And it kind of dawned on me that the rabbi was this Renaissance-type job, where you could do the politics, you could do the therapy, you could do the public speaking, the teaching, the spirituality, you could do all of it. And so I headed off to become a rabbi, and then wanted to be, if I was going to work with families, I wanted to be with a lot of families. And that's how I ended up at Congregation Emmanuel, because it was the most families in Northern California that I could work one-on-one with. This congregation really is kind of the cross-section of San Francisco, is that there are captains of industry here, and there are people that are just struggling to get by, that it really is kind of the heart and soul of what San Francisco is. It's a special place.
Amazingly enough, the congregation dates back to the Gold Rush. Influential families such as the Levi Strauss family continue to be part of the congregation today and have made the temple a thriving epicenter in the Jewish community. It is a place where history and present day come together, and forward-thinking leaders such as Rabbi Bauer are a large part of Emmanuel's success.
Ryan is known at our temple as being one of the larger-than-life presences. Ryan likes a few things. He likes to eat, he likes to drink wine, and he likes sports.
He's faithful in many ways. It's wonderful seeing him at his craft. He carries his faith and his principles with him really everywhere.
So Ryan is a San Francisco 49ers fan, period.
My level of fandom, it could be a little bit embarrassing. I think it has gone deeper in my blood than I ever had anticipated.
If there's a 49ers game on a Sunday and it's a Sunday school day, everybody knows who's playing, everybody knows who we're playing, and everybody's going home with some faith that that we're going to have a win that day.
I was born Roman Catholic, going to church on Sundays. Then my family converted to being born again Christians, again going to church on Sundays. So one of the best things about marrying someone who's Jewish, services are on Saturday. So you get to watch football on Sunday.
And when you find out that Rabbi Bauer is a 49er faithful, I mean, his whole expression just changes.
Obsessive. Totally fun to watch him watch the game. Like, I think I get more fun out of watching Ryan watch the Niners than watching the game. Like, he's just a blast, man. He's, like, into every play. He analyzes while the game is going on. Imagine Kaepernick, like, throwing the ball downfield. Pretty much every time that happens, Ryan getting out of the chair. And you've got the picture of Ryan watching a football game.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Gold Hill Evangelical Lutheran Church. For those of you who weren't at the early service and are here, you may not be aware that there is a football game starting in just a few moments. Not that I have any vested interest in this game or the outcome of that game whatsoever, but I was thinking we might have just a little bit of an abbreviated service. So if you want to just kind of follow with me a little bit, would you all like to be forgiven for your sins?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. You are. I was going to talk in my message about wine and about servanthood, but I think you probably know enough about that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. There's some bread and some wine up here on the table. You feel free to help yourself if you'd like to. Come as you are. That's just fine. And let's see. It's go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Okay, we will. Thanks be to God.
Yes, and I'm out of here.
Faith and football have always seemingly gone together. Whether it be the Hail Mary, the Immaculate Reception, or the Holy Roller, it's always been there, plain to see. The two are connected, and heaven on earth for many is feeling at home next to fellow faithful, watching your team elevate their game to new heights. But to some, faith can often be tested. Enter Barry Bandera, who has made his home and livelihood in the most unlikely of places. You see, Barry is not only a man of faith, but also a devout 49er faithful, and he resides in the shadows of the Seattle skyline.
My dad's passion was being a 49ers fan, so I joined right in. And I kept getting asked, so when are you going to become a Seahawk fan? And my answer was, never. Born a Niner fan and will always bleed red. But they kept asking me. Finally, I had an answer that stopped them in their tracks. I said, the word integrity, it comes from the Latin that means unbroken, consistent. And I said, do you want a pastor with integrity or not? And they'd always, oh, okay. And they would leave me alone. During the football season here, Sunday mornings, it's filled with people wearing Seahawk gear. Whether they're in town or not, it's just all Seahawks all the time. It can be intense. My Tahoe has been TP'd several times, things written on my car, Seahawk magnets put on my Tahoe. They all go in the trash.
It's kind of cool that as a church we have such a sports-loving congregation, as you would say, and I think it's really a cool aspect to our church.
It is difficult sometimes on Sunday mornings with all this Seahawk gear, and even Fridays walking around town, because the Friday before a game everyone has all their stuff on, and sometimes you just walk by and it's like, oh, really? But here at church, for the most part, it's good fun.
Although loving sports as a community is fun, sometimes a pastor wants to break away from the pressures of his flock and head to his castle, where everyone agrees with him, and the day-to-day battles can be cast aside. Or can they?
I met my wife, Candy, back at college right after Dwight Clark made history with the catch. So I found out she was an avid, knowledgeable Cowboy fan. It was a little awkward. It became really intense in the early 90s. 3 years in a row, it was the 49ers and Cowboys, the two best teams. Whoever won the NFC Championship was going to win the Super Bowl. All through all these years, she's still a Cowboy fan, and thankfully she still loves me, though. I have three daughters, Ashley, Holly, and Kaylee. I determined early on if I have three daughters in my house, they will understand sports. As they grew up, I kept dropping C's, like, you're going to be a Niner fan, right? You're going to be a Niner fan. Two of my three are 49er fans. Ashley and Holly are my Niner fans.
Pastor Barry's home isn't exactly the oasis he had hoped, as the divide in the Bandera household make it tough at times for true faithfulness to be expressed. So Barry moved his faith to the one place he solely calls his own.
Everybody's got to have their safe zones, right? So Barry goes into his office. There's a Niner helmet on the shelves. There's Niner memorabilia.
Red and gold decked out with all of his passions on the wall.
He feels like win or lose, he can be in a safe place, just him and God.
His office is awesome. I wish my room looked like it, actually.
What do I personally think of his office? Well, I limit the amount of time that I go into his office when the Niners have beat the Seahawks.
I love my staff, and most of them are avid Seahawk fans. I mean, we're talking avid Seahawk fans. And it's a good thing that we all love each other, because when we lose to the Seahawks, I don't want to talk about it. But I got a great team that love me in spite of I'm with the right team and they're not.
Growing up in enemy territory as a 49er fan, it's kind of hard at times. Definitely at school, definitely get all the trash talk, and you kind of just have to take the high road and be like, yeah, we got five.
I don't take it very well. I take it personally, because it goes so deep back into my childhood and who I am, and I just take it seriously. I was a Patriot fan for the first time this past year.
Well, I would say that his fandom, I would say it in one word, is loyal.
He's very loyal to anything he does, whether it's family, his church responsibilities, or when it comes to his team. And he's
very, very faithful to his team. Because of him, I love football.
Barry's faithfulness to the 49ers is true, honest, as deep as anybody I've ever met in terms of being a fan. I think the world would be coming to an end if Barry had ever changes that loyalty. There's something wrong with what's going on.
Being a faithful means you're consistent. You're not there when it's convenient. You're there thick and thin. And being a faithful 49er fan for so many years was easy because of all the wins and all the Super Bowls and all the amazing Hall of Fame players. And I think faithfulness is really tested when times are lean and seasons are tough. I think a faithful is you're with your team in the good times and the bad times.
It's hard to cite an early memory of why I would fall in love with the team because it was my life. It's like asking a child to say if they've lived in the same home their whole life, when did this feel like your home? It always was my home. This was, for my parents, yes, they had to make the conversion away from the dark side of the Dallas Cowboys, and thank God they did. But for me, it's all that I knew. That's what I always did there was, you know, knowing the Niners, celebrating the Niners. And then I remember even my parents, as school obsessed as we were not allowed to miss school. School's our number one priority, except when the Niners won the Super Bowl, we got yanked out of school early. We came down to San Francisco to be in the parade, standing there screaming until we had no voice left.
Rabbi Ryan Bauer, a native Californian and diehard faithful, has experienced the team's highs and lows for as long as he can recall. Following the team through the years means adjusting to new personnel, new coaches, and even new ways to view the game. You see, as a rabbi, his job never ends, and that means tending to those who need him throughout the week and on any given Sunday. Which also means that some of the most important tools in his faithful toolbox come straight from his cable provider.
Oh, it's very dangerous having to DVR a game. It's not an easy thing. I pull out the iPhone, I delete all of my apps, and then I spend, you know, a long time after we install everything, late Sunday night after the fact. We've now put in new policies here at the synagogue. We have a clear policy that people are not allowed to talk about the game here during the day. You know, we cheer for them in Hebrew, but then no one's allowed to talk. Security guards will tell them, no Niner talk here, because people are DVRing and people need to find out at the right time. It's not time yet. You will find a packed sanctuary chanting Kadima Arbaim Vateshaim, which means go 49ers. And you get the entire room chanting that. And there was one day, it was the NFC Championship, and we had all 100 kids in there, and all the rabbis decided we just couldn't do class that day, and we shut the school down on the fly. All 100 kids and the rabbis headed down the block to a pizza place, took over the entire pizza place, and just watched the game. That's what we did that day. We couldn't wait any longer. That was the day we kind of threw DVR out.
Shutting down class during football season to have an impromptu pizza party is a great way to prove your leadership for faithfulness if you're the congregation's rabbi. Treating a Seahawk fan like an unwelcome guest in San Francisco? Also a great way to prove your leadership and faithfulness.
Our newest rabbi came from Seattle.
And it was truly an unfortunate year to come from Seattle. Obviously, the Seahawks are a huge rival for us. So Ryan went out of his way to make sure they felt super uncomfortable the day of the championship game, made sure to know that they're in San Francisco 49ers territory now, and Temple Emmanuel is a 49ers congregation through and through. And so I think our new rabbis have adopted that policy, but rest assured, if they haven't, Ryan will make sure they do.
But he's made the conversion. He's now a Niner fan. Fortunately, it's not a turn the other cheek policy. Maybe on some things, not on this.
Faithful, I think, means staying true to something when times are good and times are bad. I think faithful means that you see something bigger than what's in the moment, and that you can hold on to that vision and actually enjoy the downs as well as the ups. That's what faithful means to me.
Someone who is deeply, deeply committed to an idea, to a relationship, to a football team, that there is no question. It is something deep within and is so much a part of the person that it's just from the soul.
You know, part of what drives Ryan and is so powerful in his role is his faithfulness, his unending belief in the direction that we're all going and the role that he plays in that. To watch Ryan year after year believe in the team, love where we're going, and go along for the ride knowing that we're heading towards that playoff game, we're heading towards that victory, is super fun to watch.
Faithful inspires a couple words in my mind. One, loyalty. Two, trust. And if you think about loyalty and trust, I think they lead to faith. I think people who are faithful have an undying belief in something larger than themselves.
It's a good question to ask, what is faithful? I think there is belief and there's faith. Belief is a certainty. It's saying you actually know what it is. Faithful is the belief in a certain possibility that something could be. Faith is this possibility which we reach for in the world. It's not necessarily there, and there's not something we can prove.